Chicago, Chicago.
All right, we're about ready to take a stroll down memory lane, and I'm telling you, these nostalgic things really touch my heart. One of the city's most popular pages on Facebook is called Forgotten Chicago, and several people in the studio with us. Jacob Kaplan, co-founder and editor. Hi, Jacob.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Patrick Steffes, editor from Forgotten Chicago. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, good morning.
And Dan, the money shot here is Dan Pogoshelski.
That was beautiful.
How about that?
Inner Polsky there.
How about that? Hi, guys.
And you're a writer. I was just looking at it. I've been following you on Facebook, as has, 75,000 other people?
I think we're up to 80,000 now.
80,000 now. It just really brings us back to our childhood. There was a recent post, Fairyland. Now, Bill, I don't know if you remembered this.
Oh, yeah.
It was in, like, it was...
The western suburbs?
It was Lyons meets Stickney. It was right around there, and it was, like, a cheaper version of Kiddyland, if you want to know the truth.
Across from where there was a Zayer there for a long time, too.
Zayer. There's a great name.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the best pizza ever. I know I say that all the time, and it's ridiculous.
You keep saying it in Chicago.
I know. When you're a little kid and your grandma goes there pretty much every weekend, you get a treat if you get a piece of the cheese Zayer pizza.
Here's what I remember about Fairyland, because I grew up not that far away. There was a ride there that I think by today's standards would be considered far too dangerous, and you would sit down on what was like essentially a giant roller skate, and you would pedal it, and then it would go down a track right next to the train ride.
Wow.
Kiddyland had that as well.
They also had a similar...
The paddle things. I don't know what they were called. Right. It was a good workout.
Right. But in the tunnel, you would just tunnel and you'd ride it into that tunnel, and then a train would be coming. I don't think most amusement parks would allow that now.
I don't think so. No. not today.
No.
How did this start? Because really, when we talk about things like this on the radio, everybody starts calling in going, do you remember Corvettes? That's where I bought my first album. How did this start?
So myself and some friends from high school, went to Whitney Young High School on the near west side, took a lot of train rides. I lived in Rogers Park, had to take the train all the way to the near west side to go to high school, and saw a lot of buildings and things along the way and just wondered what the heck was that, you know? And so after high school, remained friends with these folks, and we saw similar websites and organizations in other cities, Forgotten New York, there's several in Detroit, and we're like, why is there no organization kind of dedicated to covering the overlooked landmarks and built environment of Chicago? You know, so not the Louis Sullivan's downtown, not exactly Marshall Fields, even though we love them, but more overlooked things that are in the neighborhoods and that sort of dynamic. So we decided to start it. It's been going strong for 10 years now. Patrick and Dan joined us shortly thereafter, and we just love doing this. We give tours, we give lectures, and we've got our website, ForgottenChicago.com.
Tours. Give us an example of a tour. Where are you going to, what are some of the landmarks that used to be there that you're going to take us by?
Well, one of them is going to be on a tour that we've called the Land of Lost Neighborhoods in the area of Eastern Avondale. It's the more overlooked, if you see that pattern, part of this very trendy neighborhood, where we're going to be showing everything from interesting architecture with regards to church architecture, also some holdouts of early settler homes, and
So there's so much history going in these neighborhoods that, you know, I'm a suburbanite, so I wouldn't know for sure. But even people who live in these neighborhoods wouldn't know this sometimes.
Well, that's what we try to do. We fashion ourselves as the champions of the overlooked. And we love showing that there's more than, you know, that lustres in Chicago outside of the loop.
Here's what's interesting to me. You guys are three pretty young guys. So what's in it for you to have these floods and floods of memories from better days? I would expect that from much older gentlemen than the three of you.
We just naturally are interested in this stuff. It's kind of tough to explain, but being interested in history and exploring the history of the city, and then being able to actually go out and see buildings and places where things happened that like nobody knows about, that just fascinates me. I think it fascinates all of us. So we love the city so much that we like, you know, discovering aspects of its past and its buildings that people don't know about.
And I think, too, one of the things is, you know, we always like to kind of look for things that are kind of hiding in plain sight. I know a year ago we did a tour right here. It was we called it the Dock and Canal Trust Tour, and that's the area just to the south of us, Pioneer court is right in front of us. And the area, you know, east towards the lake, and that was this very long gestating redevelopment plan that's not fully done yet, but there's a lot of great remnants from the 60s, 70s, 80s. It's something you could work here, you could live here, and you may never have thought, well, there was a plan for this, and here's remnants of it, and here's signs of it, and it's something that no one else, as far as we know, is doing an in-depth exploration of a neighborhood, like just literally outside the WGN studios.
I know it's called Forgotten Chicago, but this extends beyond the city limits, doesn't it?
Oh, yes,
it
does.
The suburbs as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And even Northwest Indiana. We just did a bus tour of Overlook, Northwest Indiana.
So really?
We do the whole region.
Somebody put something, and these aren't things that have gone away. For instance, Superdog is on here, and a little history about 69 years ago. Maury and Flory Berman sold their first Superdog and became a part of Chicago history.
Yeah, that's still serving great hot dogs to this day.
And as
Northwest Siders, Dan and I are big fans, got to say that much.
Yeah, so. I would also say that part of this comes out that we all have a deep vein of Chicago patriotism, which in the Windy City, right, that's where the name comes from, has been around for a long time. And we all enjoy educating people about the awesome things that are in Chicago that aren't just here in the city center.
You know, a Superdog fits into a subcategory, which is some places have signs that were built maybe in the 40s or 50s or 60s, but they still have it up. Superdog has that a little bit with the hot dog on the roof. But you see, every once in a while when you drive around the city or the suburbs, you'll see some sign that's 40 or 50 or 60 years old, and your heart beats faster going, I'm so glad that still exists.
We do, and we love classic neon signs, which seem to be disappearing by the day in the city, but we've always appreciated going to seek those out, especially the ones that are still operating.
I was talking earlier, Dave Ennett, who does the sports here, and I were discussing Bennison's in Evanston, the bakery, because their sign, I think, was built sometime in the late 1940s, early 1950s, and it looks like it's brand new, but it's got that great nostalgic look.
Yeah, and also we love ghost signs. So let's say a building's torn down and there's a painted wall ad from 100 years ago that gets revealed, ad for some soap that's long gone or something like that. We love that sort of history that it just appears.
I grew up in Brookfield, and taking Ogden Avenue through Cicero, Henry's Hot Dogs is still there. They have an old sign. One of the first ones to put the French fries in the hot dog, and then across the street was Paul Bunyan's and a giant Paul Bunyan statue, which that went away. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that went. But it brings you back to your childhood, and you're thinking of all these things. Just found something on your Facebook page, too, about the Red Barrel Restaurant, South Archer in Kilbourne. There was a tree going through the roof.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think it's being altered now. I think it was a Polish restaurant for a long time, and now it's about to be altered or torn down. And speaking of Ogden Avenue, we just did a tour this last Sunday covering the remnants of Ogden Avenue, which used to go all the way through to Lincoln Park.
It was the longest street in the city, right?
Well, Western's technically the longest
Western
street.
Western is.
But Ogden, most people don't realize now, it's been gone for 40 years through Lincoln Park, but the street used to go all the way to Armitage and Clark. So we explored the remnants of that, which is overlooked nowadays.
Well, how do we find out about your tours? Where do we get a hold of you?
You can go to ForgottenChicago.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
Are they year-round, or are they just in the warmer weather months?
Mostly warmer weather months, but sometimes we do bus tours or other warm weather or cold weather activities other times of year.
And we do, we also do a lot of events, too, and we're lucky we have a great association with the Chicago Public Library. We're actually doing something tonight, which is Wednesday. It's at the Clearing Branch of the Chicago Public Library, and that's at 6 o'clock, and that's over on West 65th Street. And we're going to talk about that area, which really doesn't get a lot of attention, sort of the Ford City, Midway, Clearing, all that industrial development that was there through the years.
Outstanding. All right, more of this sort of discussion in just a moment. It's Jacob and Patrick and Dan from Forgotten Chicago. We're Bill and Wendy. If you want to give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200 is the way to go. It's Bill and Wendy, like I said, on WGN.
Chicago, Chicago, a town.
Forgotten Chicago is the name of a website, a Facebook page. Lots of people here in the Chicago area and the suburbs are following it, like 80,000 people. You can find them on Facebook. Jacob Kaplan in the studio, co-founder and editor of Forgotten Chicago. Patrick Steffes is editor, and writer Dan Pogoshelski. Did I do it?
You did it.
All right. Two for two.
I mentioned something about Ogden Avenue. You said you had a tour on Ogden, which I missed. That was earlier.
It was last Sunday.
Oh, I just missed it. You have one coming up in the Avondale neighborhood. But I mentioned the Paul Bunyan statue. And if we may, Willie is on the line. You know what happened to that giant Paul Bunyan statue? He was holding a giant hot dog.
I sure do. He is on display in downtown Atlanta, Illinois. It's a little Route 66 town. They've restored it, repainted it, And once a year or so, the Route 66 Association of Illinois gets some volunteers out there and gives them a good cleaning, and it's looking great.
Wow.
Wendy, you're on the same schedule, aren't you?
I would like to volunteer to clean that hot dog.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you.
Take a ride down to Atlanta and give them a visit.
And you mentioned Ogden Avenue, and obviously that is part of Route 66.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for that information, and it's Atlanta, Illinois.
Atlanta, Illinois.
Never heard of it.
I've seen the sign on 55 on the way to Springfield.
Exactly.
Really?
I think it's between Springfield and St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Willie,
thank you,
thanks.
Willie. I love your show, guys. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Is there something one of you guys remember from childhood that is gone? I remember the Magicist signs were on the expressways. What other things bring back a little memory for you?
Well, actually, a memory that just came back with what we were talking about is that it's kind of interesting that there was for folks that grew up in Jefferson Park, across the street, there was this old-time photographer, a monument that was probably put up there at a time that you probably didn't need city permits. And yeah, it was like a local landmark. You'd see sometimes teenage kids who'd like try to, you know, take a selfie or a photo with it. It's like, hey,
it was a fun statue.
Exactly. And that just in the past few years is gone now and is now in Crete, Illinois, because that's where the photographer, once the photographer himself moved to a different location instead of relocating it, went to his hometown of Crete, Illinois.
How about that?
You think of landmarks, and I grew up in Brookfield, worked at Brookfield Zoo, and I bet you can go back in all your childhood albums, and there's a picture of all of you sitting on those lions in Brookfield Zoo, so there's certain things like that.
For sure.
Patrick, you have one? Is there a place or a memory from the city?
No, Wendy stole it from me.
Though. Oh, she did?
That was the first thing I thought. So I actually didn't grow up here. I've been here for 20-plus years, but I grew up outside of Madison, Wisconsin, and we would come down on field trips, which I loved, and those I couldn't figure out those lips. I every time I'd take a picture, I couldn't for the life of me. I didn't know what it was, what it meant, if that was carpet cleaning. That was definitely my thing that I remembered so well.
What was it?
It was just their logo. Yeah, Magic Kissed, so it's the lips from the Kissed part of Magicist.
I always thought there was some correlation with chapstick or something.
Oh, yeah.
No carpet cleaning.
There was one on the Dan Ryan, on the Eisenhower, and on the Kennedy coming in from every direction.
They had it covered everywhere, didn't they?
Yeah.
At the Montrose exit on the Kennedy.
Yep, that's where it was. Jacob, you have one?
Let's see. I don't know. There's so many
probably
to think
thousands
about.
Of them.
It's, I just, you know, growing up here and exploring the city and I mean, it's, I can't even, you know, it's hard to pick one. It's all a blur with all we do here. So
can I tell you what my friends and I were reminiscing about over the weekend? A place called Fisherman's Dude Ranch. Do you remember this at all?
No.
This was a place that it was a lake, a small lake that was so stocked with fish that you couldn't help but catch a dozen or 15 fish every time you went there. And they had a sign, a classic sign of a fisherman. It was a motorized sign, and he just kept reeling in and reeling out, and a giant fish would be on his line.
Wait, really?
Where was it?
It was either on Gulf Road or Dempster. I can't remember which, but we just passed by it the other day, my friends and I, and we were showing where the sign used to be and where the little lake used to be.
Tom, is this what Bill's talking about?
Yes, it is. I live in Powers Lake, Wisconsin, 3 miles from Twin Lakes, and the owners of Mad Dan's Restaurant bought that fish and fisherman about 3 or 4 years ago, had it refurbished, and it now is mounted on the building of the restaurant.
And in what city? Because I need to see it again. Where could I find that sign?
Twin Lakes. It's two separate bills. It's a fish and a fisherman about 12 feet high.
Yeah.
Each.
And where was the original Dude Ranch or Fisherman Town or whatever?
That's right. It was called the Fisherman's Dude Ranch. You could take your kids there fishing. But this is now Kenny Pearl, who owns the restaurant, wanted this for a long time and finally purchased it a few years ago. Had it refurbished and has it mounted on top of the restaurant.
I will cry when I see it. I will weep openly.
It's Twin Lakes, Wisconsin.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom.
That's so
whenever
funny.
My dad would take my brother and I fishing, if we didn't do well, if we'd go out for a day of fishing and didn't catch any fish, then we'd go to Fisherman's Dude Ranch and catch 20 fish, and it looked like the day was a success.
That's a good dad you have.
Nice.
All right, Don's on the line. Don, we're talking with the Forgotten Chicago people. What do you have for us?
Oh, I just remember Adventureland growing up as a kid, because it was always being had at the back end of the TV guide and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where was that now?
It was right by Medina Country Club.
It was a lot of fun.
I remember seeing the ads for it. Adventureland, Santa's Village, which is still around.
Yeah. We had a bunch of those amusement parks, and then they'd open, you know, Old Chicago and Great America, and all the little parks just went away. They couldn't compete anymore.
Did you ever make it to Kitty Land, Don?
The one on McCormick Place on the north end of Chicago.
Everyone forgets that one.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
there were two?
Yeah.
I didn't make the one on First Avenue and River.
Well, Riverview was that was the prototypical perfect amusement park, right?
Yeah, but there was a kiddie land at McCormick and Lincoln where Lincoln Village Shopping Center
was. Never even heard of that. I just thought the only one was First Avenue and River Road, I believe.
Yeah.
I went past it last weekend, and it was just a Costco.
Yeah,
it's
isn't
heartbreaking.
That sad?
Thank you, Don.
Real quickly, we mentioned Ford City a little while ago. So the legend always was it was called Ford City because prior to being such a big shopping center, it was a Ford plant. Is that true? Is that what it was at one point?
Well, it was a defense plant during World War II. It was one of the largest buildings ever built in the world, and it made most of the aircraft engines for the bomber planes of World War II.
In that building, it became the mall,
and it was a real, you know, nobody was reusing buildings back in the 1960s, but a local developer called Henry Chaddick had this idea to turn it into a shopping mall, and it was really a, you know, pioneering thing, and today is the era of, you know, things being green, but that was the original green building, you know, reusing a building like that.
And it was built for the Dodge Division of Chrysler Corporation. Then it was used by Tucker, where they made the Tucker there.
Yeah.
And then it was leased to Ford for a number of years. And for some reason, they just kept the Ford name. So it's been known as Ford City ever since.
See, honestly, it's just so exciting to learn things about the city and suburbs that you'd never know. You guys are really good professors, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Forgotten Chicago, Jacob Kaplan, Patrick Steffes, and Dan Pogoshelski.
Oh, beautiful.
Three for three, Dan.
Yes.
You can find them on their website, ForgottenChicago.com. And is that where you post your schedule of all these tours? Will there be more coming up?
Oh, there's plenty coming up. We've got at least 10 or 12 coming up throughout the summer. So take a look, ForgottenChicago.com.
And follow them on Facebook, too. You can be one
and
of the...
Twitter.
And Twitter. Mm-hmm. Be one of the 80,000 people. That's going to go up so much. It's really... I'm happy to go through all the nostalgia and look back because you always think of like one other thing then. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So take care, guys. A quick break and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.